Here's another edition of the BayCare Health Systems podcast series, BayCare Health Chat with Melanie Cole.
Eating healthy, especially during the upcoming holidays, can be difficult for even the healthiest eater. The holidays may not be the time to try and lose weight, but you can maintain your weight and even make some healthier choices. Welcome to BayCare Health Chat. I'm Melanie Cole, and today we're discussing tips for healthy holiday eating. Joining me is Diana Thomas. She's a registered dietitian, nutritionist, and diabetes education coordinator at BayCare. Diana, thank you so much for joining us today. So when it comes to healthy holiday eating, can there be more than one approach? People think that the main approach is denial, to deny yourself those sweet treats that we see all over the place. Tell us about some of the approaches to eating healthier at the holidays.
Oh, there are different approaches. For some people, the mantra, moderation in all things, is absolutely achievable. For those people, they can keep their plate small, they can choose a little bit of everything, and they can make good choices. But for other people, they know they have trigger foods. They know that what they eat can cause a spiral of overeating. And for those people, a more disciplined plan is really beneficial. So the approaches can be moderation, but for some people, that's just never going to work, and they need to plan ahead.
So Diana, the holidays are a really tough time for people watching what they eat. And I'm an exercise physiologist, and I always like to recommend planning in advance, whether it's exercise or eating, journaling, whatever it is. As a registered dietitian, how do you recommend people plan in advance for these temptations? Because, I mean, we kind of know what's coming at us at that time.
Planning involves anticipating what the event's going to be. And with healthy holiday eating, that can be controlling what's in your house. But that could also be controlling when you're at a party or when you're at a little gathering, how much food comes on your plate. So for some people, this planned moderation really could be thinking about in a week, if they're going to splurge at their holiday party, then the next four meals should be really healthy and full of vegetables and making good choices. But even at an event, just considering, okay, I'm going to be at this event, for some people, if they really want to watch their weight and they really want to use moderation, they can choose the smaller plate or fill half of their plate. But alcohol control is also really powerful. So people need to plan ahead for not having the extra one or two drinks because that lowers inhibitions for their food intake greatly.
But that's all about willpower then, isn't it, Diana? So how do we do that? And especially in these stressful times, it seems like people are really, you know, turning to alcohol. And as you say, then the inhibitions go away. But when we feel stressed, we feel worried or any of those things, how can we moderate our alcohol consumption, which would help us with our food consumption?
Food and alcohol is probably the most abused anti-anxiety drugs. They really are not effective anti-anxiety drugs. We need to consider other ways. And moderation and having a plan. So I think we kind of talked about this, but the idea is that you know you're going to this party or you know this is going to be happening or you know this is in your house. And thinking ahead, for some people, just being distracted is a tool for making sure that they speak to six people at the party before they're allowed to have a drink, making sure that they have that one drink and then they have to have two glasses of water after that drink. And really, in their heart, having their own self control with the decision that was made before they walked in the door to the holiday party or before they walked into their kitchen, that they really planned ahead for how am I going to address this, because the temptations are real and people do fall back on comforting things during times of stress. But having a plan and using distraction is helpful. So being distracted can be powerful to really stay away from food as their primary tool for comforting.
So another thing that happens is the snacking. Maybe we're cooking for our family or bringing something to someone so that they can have a meal, and we snack. We taste, we snack, we do all those things, and it becomes very mindless. You just do it. You put it into your mouth, and then it's like, okay, oh, geez, what did I just do? And that can even lead to kind of a binge. So how can we snack healthier? Give us some real tips and workable foods, things that you think are healthier for us to snack on if we're going to mindlessly snack, and also how can we not mindlessly snack?
So So I want you to think about the value of foods and food density. So along the lines of what nutritional value does it provide? So you're at somewhere or you're in your own kitchen and there are certain snack chips that provide enjoyment, but they really don't provide any nutritional value. But nuts and seeds provide minerals and nutrients that our body could use. So I probably would encourage people to have moderation with their nuts and their seeds. Even moderation in small amounts of cheese is reasonable, but cheese can be a very high salt, high fat food, so that's one that people should be much more cautious with. Of course, every dietitian is going to say eat more fruits and vegetables, but realistically, the snack foods are not always those choices. So, of course, if that's your opportunity, start with the fruits and vegetables. But most packages, snacks that you might have in your house or when you're at the grocery store, if you turn over that label, the company has a suggested serving. It's a recommended serving at the top. Knowing what the company thinks a serving is a option for choosing things that you know are not necessarily healthy, but you want to have them. I'm going to ask people that if they truly want a snack that they know is not healthy, to live by what the serving size is on the label. So that might be 2 snack cookies, or that might be 16 tortilla chips. But that portion control can let them have the things that they would snack on, but have a stopping point, not ever sitting on the couch with the entire bag of chips and your hand touching the bottom of the bag, but putting them in a bowl, counting out 16 chips would be a useful way to allow for snacking. So that's a couple of suggestions.
That's really great advice, because it is easy to just bring the bag over with you. And that's a good old Weight Watchers trick as well, is to count them out, put them in a bowl, and then put that bag away back in the pantry so you don't get up and go get it again. And so now what about the main courses at the holidays? Some of them are pretty fat laden. Some of them are pretty heavy on the sugar. If we're cooking meals for our family, give us some recipe ideas, things, ways that we can take mashed potatoes or gravies or any of these foods that we see. People make the green bean casserole, which is just so high in calories. I don't even like it myself. It's mush, but some people do like it. And so how can we take some of these staples and make them just a little healthier?
That really involves changing the actual recipe and then doing a little bit of research. So there are very good cooking websites and there are very good options. So there's an eatingwell.com. There's a Cook's Illustrated. There's options for looking at different recipes that are out there. But in real life, just using half of what you know would be sugary or fatty in the recipe, cutting back. So if you're looking at something and this says, hey, we need to add butter, using half of the butter that's asked for in the recipe, switching the butter for applesauce in most baked good recipes is a complete option where the product still turns out very good, but you've eliminated those fat and fat calories. Along the same lines, things are not going to always be identical when you do this. When you eliminate the egg yolks or you eliminate the extra oils or you eliminate some of the extra sugar, the product that you finish with is not going to be exactly like grandma's old-time favorite. So being open to changing things. For some people, just being able to moderate in other ways. If you can't change your recipe, but you're willing to switch to the fat-free dressing. If you can't change your recipe, but you're willing to have a much smaller portion, where you truly use a half-cup measuring cup to measure out the sweet potato casserole, because that's something that's just not easy to change.
And sweet potato casserole, you just made my mouth water, because that's so good, and you don't even need to add sugar to those kinds of recipes, because if you roast those, they're very sweet on their own. And so you're right, doing research. And as long as we're talking about research, Diana, do you have some suggestions for apps or tools that someone can use when they want to be healthy food focused and look to these better recipes that you and I are discussing?
Mm-hmm. Suggestions would be, if someone really is just looking to shop healthier and make healthier food choices and sometimes influence other people in their family. If a parent tells their child this is healthier, the child doesn't listen. But if the app tells the child it's healthier, everyone's ears are open and they're really ready to listen. So the ShopWell app, ShopWell, is an app that really helps people choose healthier foods, and they sort of have that red light, yellow light, green light system that kind of helps people immediately know if something was healthier versus not healthier. The Spark People app does have more of a weight focus to it, but it has such good information within the app, and both of them have free options to choose. If someone is really more interested in weight control, so they know the holidays are ahead, they know this is a time of excessive eating, and they really want to use this time to be more weight conscious, the Lose It app and the Foodjucate app are both apps that offer free food tracking. And for a fee, they offer many additional upgrades and resources that can be very, very helpful.
This is great information, and we can certainly utilize this information not only at the holidays, really, Diana, but all year round. And these apps are so helpful, and recipe tips as well. Wrap it up for us with some of your best strategies you can include, recipes, anything you want to talk about for moderation during the holidays, and ways that we can help ourselves to avoid that weight gain. And it really applies to all the time, and especially with quarantine and isolation, it can help us to not use food as our stress comfort.
So I did mention that, like you said, food is one of the most abused stress or comfort drugs, but activity is the least utilized antidepressant. So in real life, we can distract ourselves. Now, I can make a cup of herbal tea, and if that keeps me from going back to the refrigerator two times, that was a good choice. If someone else likes to do adult coloring and they've got their little coloring pencils and that keeps them from eating other foods, during the holidays, there's stress with family, there's stress with gift-giving expectations, there's stress with our situation, with our home lives, and we really do need to have a plan for not using food as our comfort. We need to plan for better recipes, plan for using smaller plates, plan for measuring cups, or even just thinking ahead so that we can have something that's our fallback on comfort that's not a food thing. So I would love people to be focused on the holidays towards people, towards giving, towards kindness, towards family, but not letting food be their primary focus, and almost writing out a little mantra to kind of keep them in that direction so that food is not their primary thing for those 2 to 4 to 6 weeks.
What great points, and really true that we can use things like giving and gratitude to try and help us, and certainly to get exercise at that time, because that does help mitigate some of the damage that we do. But great advice today, Diana. Thank you so much. And to learn more about BayCare's programs and services, please visit baycare.org. And that concludes this episode of BayCare Health Chat. Please remember to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast and all the other BayCare podcasts. I'm Melanie Cole.